The show, the golden future, responses to disciples' questions, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 15.
Beloved Bhagwan, it feels so hopeless. I feel ashamed to have been a sannyasi for 10 years and still be in this state. I hesitate to ask for your help because even your words become mechanical in me after a few repetitions. Would you please comment?
In Hindi words, it is not yet hopeless enough. Just make it a little more hopeless. There comes a point in hopelessness that you stop hoping. Hopelessness is still deep down nothing but hope. Let the hope fail completely and totally. And the dramatic experience arises out of that space when you don't have any hope. Because hope is another name of desire. Another name of expectation. Another name of ambition. And before you can realize yourself, all desire, all expectation, all ambition must have failed, must have left you alone, hoping nothing, desiring nothing, expecting nothing. Where you will be? There is no way going out. Hope is a way going out. Desire is a way going away. Ambition is a way to avoid going in. On the path to be utterly hopeless, so hopeless that you stop hoping, suddenly you are in. Without taking a single step, hope is a kind of opium. It keeps you intoxicated. To tolerate the miserable present, your eyes remain fixed on a faraway star, your hope. Millions of people live without finding themselves, not because of any sin that other men Eve committed, or you committed in some of your past lives. The sin is that they go on looking in the future and the present goes on passing by. And the present is the only reality. Future is a dream. And howsoever sweet, they never come true. Self-realization is not a dream. It is the realization in the present moment of your own being. So don't be worried. You are on the right path, supreme endeavor, becoming hopeless. Go on more and more. Exhaust hopelessness. Come to the optimum hopelessness. Then hope disappears automatically. And when there is no hope, you are. When there is no hope, the present is. An old spinster died, and her two old friends went to a stonemason to have a great stone made. And what message would you like to have on the stone? Ask the mason. Well, said one of the old maids, it's quite simple really. We would like she came a virgin, she lived a virgin, and she died a virgin. The matron replied, "You know, you ladies could save a lot of money by just saying, 'Returned unopened.'" Most of the people return unopened. And nobody is responsible except themselves. You are asking, it feels so hopeless. Not yet. Otherwise, even this question would not have arisen. There is still hope. You say, "I feel ashamed to have been a sannyasi for 10 years and still be in this state." That is your ego feeling hurt. Otherwise, you will feel humble, not ashamed. What is there to be ashamed? Life is not a small thing. It is so vast, and we are so small. The ocean is so big, and we have to swim it just by our own small hands. Only those people should feel ashamed who never start swimming and go on standing on the bank looking at others. One who has started swimming 10 years is nothing much. Even 10 lives are small. One should be so patient. It is your impatience that is feeling ashamed. It is your ego that is feeling ashamed. You should feel humble. Humble before the vastness of existence. Humble before the mysteries of life. Just humble and noble. And in that humbleness, the ocean becomes small and your hands become bigger. You say, "I hesitate to ask for your help." You go on saying things that you don't mean. If you really hesitate, then why you are asking? In fact, hesitation is your question. You should ask a little more so that you can open up, so that you can become more exposed. Don't go on hiding yourself. What is the hesitation in asking? And you go on rationalizing everything within yourself. You have rationalized your hesitation. Everybody hesitates to ask. And the reason and the rationalization are two different things. The reason for feeling hesitation is one does not want to show one's ignorance, and every question shows your ignorance. One hopes that some other stupid person is going to ask the question, just wait. Because the human reality is one, and human problems are one, and the search for oneself is one. So someday somebody is going to ask the question that you cannot gather courage to ask yourself. But I want you to remember that even in asking, there is something valuable. In asking, you are exposing your ignorance. In asking, you are accepting that you don't know. In asking, you are dropping your so-called knowledgeability. To ask a question is more important than the question itself. The question may be anything X, Y, Z, but the very asking is significant. It brings you closer to me, and it brings you closer to all other sannyasins, the fellow travelers. You don't remain close afraid that somebody may know that you know not. exposing yourself that you are ignorant, all fear disappears. You become more human and you become more intimate with everyone who is a fellow traveler, because the same is his situation. That is the reason why one hesitates. But rationalizations are totally different things. You rationalize that I hesitate to ask for your help, because even in your words become mechanical in me after a few repetitions. What is the need of repeating them? One repeats a thing because one wants to make it mechanical. In your mind, there is a robot part. If you repeat a certain thing, the robot part takes it over. Then you don't have to think about it. The robot part goes on doing it. You are unburdened of thinking. You are unburdened of responsibility, and the robot part is very efficient. It is mechanical. It has its use and it has its misuse. When you are working in the ordinary world, the day-to-day world, if you have to remember every day where your house is, who is your wife, if you have to search every day in the crowd, looking into every face, who is your wife, it will become a little difficult. The robot part takes it over. It knows the way to the home. You need not think on every turn whether to go right or to go left. You go on listening to the radio and your hands will go on moving the steering wheel. Exactly to your own porch. If one has to think about everything, life will become too much clumsy. once in a while it happens with few people. People who don't have a very strong robot fire. And these are the people who are very intelligent. Their whole energy moves into intelligence and their robot fire is left starving. Thomas Alva Edison is one of the case to be considered. He was living and going to an institute to deliver a lecture on some new scientific project he was working on. Saying goodbye to his wife, he kissed her and waved to his mate. His chauffeur could not believe his eyes because he had kissed the mate and he was waving to the wife. His robot part was very, very small. His whole life energy was devoted into scientific investigations where robot part is not needed. One day he was sitting and working some calculations. His wife came with the breakfast. Seeing him so much involved, she left the breakfast by his side that when he will look at it, he will understand why I have not disturbed him. Meanwhile, one of his friends came, seeing him so much absorbed, he also felt not to disturb him. Having nothing else to do, he ate the breakfast left the empty dishes by his side and when he looked up and saw at his friend Edison looked at the empty plate, he said, "You came a little late. I have finished my breakfast." We could have shared. The friend said, "Don't you worry." You say that everything becomes mechanical in you after a few repetitions. But why repeat? The repetition is a method to make a thing mechanical. Always do something fresh, something new. If you want not to get caught into repetition, but in ordinary life, the repetitions are perfectly good. As you enter into the world of higher consciousness, repetitions are dangerous. There you need always a fresh mind, innocent mind, which knows nothing and responds to a situation not out of mechanical robot part of his mind, but from the very living source of his life. Here we are not concerned about the mundane world. Our concern is to raise the consciousness. Don't repeat, don't imitate. Remember one thing. That you have to respond always in a fresh way. The situation may be the old, but you are not to be old. You have to remain young and fresh. And just try new responses. They will not be so efficient as the mechanical response. But efficiency is not a great value in a spiritual life. Freshness is. A rabbi and a minister were sitting together on a plane. The stewardess came up to them and asked, "Would you care for a cocktail?" "Sure," said the rabbi. "Please bring a Manhattan." "Fine, sir," said the stewardess. "And you, reverend?" "Young lady," he said, "before I touch a strong drink, I would just as soon commit adultery." "I miss," said the rabbi, "as long as there is a choice, I will have what he is having." People are imitative. And imitation is bound to be unintelligent. they want to do exactly things which others are doing. That makes their freshness destroyed. Do things in your own style. Live your life according to your own light. And even if the same situation arises, be alert to find a new response. It is only a question of little alertness. And once you have started enjoying, and it is really a great joy to respond to old situations always in a new way. Because that newness keeps you young, keeps you conscious, keeps you non-mechanical, keeps you alive. Don't be repetitive. But when I am saying don't be repetitive, I don't mean in the ordinary life, in the marketplace. There repetition is the rule. But in the inner world, there freshness of your response is the law.
Beloved Bhagwan, I have noticed that when you leave the discourse and pass through the door, you often look to your left. Are you simply saying hello to the ghost?
I have to. That Ananda's room has so many ghosts. I have not told Ananda when she came into the room for the first time, but how long you can hide a fact? The ghost started declaring themselves. In the middle of the night they will wake her, they will knock, she will jump out of her bed, and she is afraid to tell to anybody what is the matter. Finally she gathered courage and told me that what is the matter? Suddenly in the middle of the night somebody knocks and if I don't jump up he tries to pull my leg I said, nothing to be worried. It is a very nice assembly of ghosts. I keep them in Ananda's room just so that they can also listen to the discourse. In fact, it is their room. They are not ghosts, they are the host, Ananda is the guest. But she was very much afraid. I said, you don't be afraid. You start introducing yourself to them. She said, but what others will think? I said, nobody is there in the middle of the night. He said, that's right. So she introduced herself. But I am a nice Australian girl. And I don't want any trouble. And now she has even started making a bed in the bathroom, in the bathtub, with cozy blankets and many clothes for the ghosts so they can rest there. I have to pass that room just because of those fellows. And just a hello is me. And now it has become known to few people. Milarepa is asking that why when you enter the room you look at the left. And you say hello. Mukta has even appraised Ananda that I enjoy the company of ghosts. I would like to invite them for tea. Yes. Being friendly with them. But Ananda is very much afraid. She has to talk every night. I have asked her that whether they answer. She said, they never answer. I said, they will not answer because they don't exist. You have to create them. It is a very creative dimension. Nirupa became interested because everybody wants to know mysterious things. She stayed with Ananda and she also heard the knock. She said, my God, they are. And in fact, all those knocks are made by Milarepa. It is by arrangement with me. Just to keep a place in the commune, for nice growth. You can create ghosts very easily. Anything else is very difficult because it needs some material. Ghosts are absolutely immaterial. It just needs good imagination. And Ananda has good imagination. And it is a good exercise to talk to the ghost, because you can be more truthful. Then you can be with human beings. It is a good meditation. You can tell them secrets which you cannot tell to anybody else, because they are not going to spread the rumors. You can trust them. They are your own creation. Slowly, slowly, Ananda will make it a meditation. It is beginning. By and by, I am giving her as much encouragement as possible. There is nothing to be afraid, because ghosts don't exist anywhere. Ananda's room included. But to have a good company of ghosts and to talk with them can be transformed into a meditation. as if you are talking to your own different self. Every man has many selves. He can make each self a ghost. And then it is easy to stop. And just one step more. Start from your side and answer from his side. And between this conversation, between you and the non-existential ghost, you will find treasures hidden within yourself, secrets and mysteries of which you were not aware before. So Ananda's room is a special room. When you walk through it, never forget to say hello. To the ghost. Goldstein applies for membership in the Communist Party and he is requested to answer a few questions. Who was Karl Marx? I don't know. Replies Goldstein. Lenin? Sorry, I don't know him either. What about Leonid Brezhnev? Never heard of him. Are you playing games with me? Asked the official. Not at all, says Goldstein. Do you know Herschel Salzberg? No, says the official. What about Yankel Horowitz? Never heard of him. Same Davidovich? No. Well, says Goldstein, I guess that's the way it goes. You have got your friends, I have got me. People think Ananda lives alone. She has such a beautiful congregation. Right now I am telling her to have some conversations. Soon you will see her addressing the congregation. There will be nobody, but she will enjoy her own revelations and one thing is good about ghosts, you can say to them anything in any language right or wrong, it does not matter. Ghosts are almost like the gods. People are praying all over the world, every morning, every evening, to a god. And it is not that their prayer is absolutely useless. Although there is no God, but if they are praying with tears in their eyes and love in their heart, and the feeling of gratitude surrounding them, whether God exists or not is not the point. The prayer changes the person, gives him a new experience. God was just an excuse. So are the ghosts of Ananda's room an excuse for her to stand up and address the congregation? I think tonight she is going to do it. And enjoy it. And tell those poor fellows, because they are so old, somebody may have died thousands of years before. Just visualize few skeletons sitting around you. It is an exercise in visualization, and then start addressing them, brothers and sisters. And you will not be surprised that they applaud, they laugh rightly, exact moment. Milarepa has another question. He is afraid that these animal ghosts are just underneath his room. And someday they may start moving around the house, you need not be afraid, Milarepa. Because I have asked you, ghosts, they are afraid of you. So you remain courageous. Even if you feel some ghost has entered, behave as if nobody has entered. Go on playing on your guitar a little louder. Ghosts don't like particularly the contemporary music, because they are not contemporary. They are very classical people. Two Italians were watching a jet fly overhead. Hey, that's not the Pope up there. Declared one. How you know that? Asked the other. That's not easy. Replies the first. The airplane Fais-toi. On it. That means stop, walk, aboard. Milarepa, you can write on your door toa. Stop, walk, aboard. And don't be afraid of the ghost. And I am always here. If some ghost plays tricks on you, you can just inform me. Because I have such an intimacy with everything in life, ghosts and gods, trees and rivers, mountains and clouds, that I will prevent, that don't disturb the musician. You are allowed to be present in the court of Ananda. She is my legal secretary. And if you want to learn about law, she can teach you things. And I don't think that any ghost is interested in things like love. So technical. But they are interested in Ananda. She is very juicy.
Beloved Bhagwan, when I saw you the other morning, you seem so totally fresh, so new, so radiant, deeper and higher and vaster than ever before. What has happened to you in these days of silence?
Anand Suresh, there are many things that have not been told by the mystics to the people. Just so that they don't freak out, one of the things is the moment you become aware, conscious, reaches which were unknown to you before, become available, your contact with the body becomes loose. Particularly after enlightenment, the general understanding is that you will be more healthy, you are in an inner sense more healthy. But as far as your body is concerned, you become more fragile. So whenever I have a great opportunity of being sick, I use it just resting under my blanket being utterly silent. I love to be sick, to tell you the truth, because then I can sleep 20 hours at least. It is a sleep to the outside people. To me, it is a deep meditation. So because my both arms and their joints are in a bad shape, I cannot even participate in your rejoicing and in your music. I have been resting completely. And whatever I do totally. That may have given you the idea that I looked to you totally fresh, new, radiant, deeper and higher and vaster than ever before. I am always the same. But as you become more and more centered inwards, even to look outside is a strain on the eye. Even to speak a word is a strain. Because effort has to be made, otherwise the silence cannot be translated in any way and conveyed to you. So whenever I get some chance, for example, when I was in American jail for 12 days, all I did was sleeping 20 hours, waking up twice to take a bath and to eat something and then to go to sleep again. When I came out of the jailer said, "You are my first experience. When you had entered, and now that you are coming out, I can compare. You are looking so radiant. So fresh. I said to him, jail life suits me." He said, "What?" I said, "Yes, because no disturbance. Each of you Your presidents, your prime ministers, your senate members should be given a chance every year at least for 12 days to be in the jail. And they will all feel nourished. Just they have to know the art. Take it easily. Easy is right. An American from Texas is visiting France and feeling thirsty, he stops at a house along the road. Can you give me a drink of water? Asks the Texan. Of course, says the Frenchman. What do you do? Says the Texan. I raise a few chickens, says the Frenchman. Really? Says the Texan. I am also a farmer. How much land do you have? Well, says the Frenchman, out front it is 50 meters, as you can see, and in the back we have close to 100 meters of property. And what about your place? Well, says the Texan proudly, on my ranch I have breakfast and I get into the car and I drive and drive and I don't reach the end of the ranch until dinner time. Really? Replies the Frenchman, I once had a car like that. It all depends how you take it. Margaret Thatcher, Franco's Mitterrand, and Ronald Reagan were lunching together, and naturally they talked about their respective heartaches. Margaret Thatcher said, I have 13 undercover agents and one of them is a double agent, but I don't know which. Mitterrand spoke up, I have 13 mistresses and one of them is cheating on me, but I don't know which. Reagan said, I have 13 cabinet ministers and one of them is intelligent, but I don't know which.
Yes, sir.